I did the smart Mr. Shem is the Yortzeit of the Chechenover. It's the son of the Shinovarov. Shinovarov have greater banim, and the oldest of them was of Simcha from Chechenov. The Rav in Chechenov, of course, and at the age of 13, he was Nishtadich with the daughter of the Belzerov, Rabbi Shula. And he didn't have a Riches Yomim. He didn't make it even to the age of 50. One of his greatest Talmidim, many of you may have heard, not have heard, of Shavorsk, yeah, Antwerp. So the current Rabbi is an Einikel of one of the greatest Talmidim of Reb Simcha, and that was the Reb Itzchok from Shavorsk. He said about his Rebbe, he was the tzaddik of the generation in his time, one of the great tzaddikim, and he had a Riches Yomim, he would have conquered the whole world. Meaning, everybody would have been a Talmud of him. The Satmarov and the Atzichayim, his brother, Satmarov spent 2 Shabbosim by him. And he said he had the Hisragshus and the flaw of the Satmarov. He said that the Tzaddik of Simcha, on Friday night, he had his feet locked against the table, and he put his head down. And he was with his fists, he was banging on the table, but with an imus, he was saying, "Lo yidach mimenu nidach, lo yidach mimenu nidach," which means the pasuk in the Navi, which means that no yid will ever be left behind, will be forgotten. It's like a battle cry by the tzaddikim. And this is the very beginning by him. The very beginning b'chlal by rabbis. I heard from my rabbi once, he was teaching up, like, what's the inyan of a rebbe? How's a rebbe different than a rav? One of the ikar inyanim of a rebbe is that he knows how to be poyel tikkun neshamas. He's Isaac in the Indian of Tikkun Neshamas. This is the very beginning by Reb Simcha. Once his daughter, after she had got married, was by his house, and it was time to go home to her husband, and she showed that she was hesitant to leave, and he noticed, and he said, "So, no, what's the problem?" He says, "I'm afraid to walk home by myself." She said, "Why?" He says, "The way to get home is that I have to pass by the shul. And when I pass by the shul, I know that that's the place where the neshamas come for you to be masaking them. And I'm afraid to see those neshamas on the way without to have the comfort of you being there." So he says, "It's true." He says, "That's true." He says, "But you have nothing to worry, because the neshamas which come to me in the shul, to be able to come to the shul for the tikkun, it means that they're tzaddikim. Because not every neshama is able to come to the shul to have a tikkun. So you have no worries that for you to go, the neshamas are not going to harm you because the neshamas of tzaddikim." That's what he told her. He had said himself that he added that he told her that my father, the Shinovarov, I remember as a young child once that it was in the middle of the night and I heard cries, and it woke me up, and I went and followed the voice of the cries, and I made my way to the Beis Medrash, and I looked, and I looked. He says this wasn't the Maisa with his father; it was with the Rebbe from Stripkov. I followed the cries, and they were in that city at the time, and he followed the cries, and he came to the. To the window. It was coming from the window of the shul, and he said that he saw the neshamas there were coming for the tikkun to the Rebbe from Shipkov. And he saw at that time that he knew that only neshamas of tzaddikim come to the window of the shul to be able to get a tikkun. So he told her, "I know from past experience and I know from my own experience that the neshamas of tzaddikim, you have nothing to worry about." Another occasion, he was once traveling on a train. And as he was passing through on the train, so he was looking out the window in a very deep stare. And then he said a line like, "I see in the forests that there are many neshamas which are waiting here for a tikkun." So one of his gabayim was there, and he had like a pachad, that the Rebbe said such a thing. So he quickly closed the windows, the shades of the train, so that he shouldn't have any ASIC with it. And he said to him, he turned to him, he says, "What are you afraid of?" He says, "You know how many neshamas are waiting for a tikkun, and you're going ahead and you're closing the windows?" As if to say, like, "Yeah, this is what we need to do. Nothing to be afraid of. You have to be masakeh these neshamas." It's a very big inyan by rebbes. Some did it more openly, and he did it quietly. It doesn't just mean tikkun and neshamas are those who have passed. It means even the ones who are in this world. Going to my rebbe means that the rebbe works on tikkun neshamas. The First World War, when the world was in an upheaval, so Ravitzkel, no, that wasn't actually Ravitzkel. It was the Kalasharov. He was a nephew of the Chechenover. And before the Reb Simcha, the Chechenover, passed away, he asked him, because the world was in a mamish, in a state of toyev avoyu. So he thought that the world was going to go down. So he said to the Rebbe, "What's going to be?" This is right before he passed. So he told him that before Mashiach comes, the neshamas are going to come to the world which don't need to have a lot of work in order to have a tikkun. That's what he said. He said, "I didn't realize at the time like what he was responding to me and to my question." But he said, "I saw many years later that there are so many from children who come from homes which have no shaychis, no connection to Yiddishkeit. Then, and as time goes on, we see it more and more. The process of a heishiv levavos habanim, levavos habanim." So he said that Reb Simcha was telling him the reason why that is because the neshamas which are coming into the world now, already they were poil most of their tikkunim in previous lifetimes, and they have a few things just to work on. But be'etzim tzaddikim. And they come into this world with a fire and a hislavas to do good and to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They have a few things to work out, and the Rebbes are oisik in those tikkunim. He says, but if you see that such a phenomenon is occurring, it's because the neshamas which are coming to the world now, they don't have much to work out anymore. And at the time, that wasn't the phenomenon yet, but he was able to see later, as this started to evolve, the umkis of what the Rebbe was telling him. Because he was the eldest of the children of the Shin of Rav, and the Shin of Rav was the oldest son of the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanzer Rav, the Heilige Tzanzer Rav. So the Chechenover, he, for the first few years of his life, he was zeichet to see the Divrei Chaim. And he was very happy that he did so. He says, because Tosfos says in Bava Basra, that which the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, that if there's a line of tzaddikim, of Talmidei Chachamim, one and then the next and then the next, so then it will never cease the Torah from that line. But Tosfos says that's only if they see each other. He says because he had the schus to see his father and his zayda, the Divrei Chaim, so he felt assured that the Keser HaTorah won't ever be nifsak from his children. At one point, when the position of the Rav of Chechenov became open, he was very young at the time, maybe even in his teens. But he learned with a very big Talmud Chacham that his father arranged, and he became not just a Baki in Pnimis HaTorah, but also in Niglas HaTorah, and he was a Dayan. And in this town, though, there were many Belze Chassidim, and there were also many Hoysiatin Chassidim. And his father wanted that he should take the shteller at that city, but many were mistaken because they felt that there was no tzanz chassidim there, and there were no chassidim of his father there. Shenever chassidim. So they decided that they were going to ask the Hosiyatan Rebbe of Mordecha whether or not they should be mekabel him as the Rebbe. So, you know, everything in Hasiyatin, we spoke about Rishon, was a big dveikus, big madregas. So they asked him, should we makabel this young man as the Rebbe? So he said, what? Simcha Ber? He says, Simcha Ber, he's a good avrich. So he said, that was the only thing that he said, very bekitzer. He says, it was b'chayil apella, because he never once met him in his life. Never met him. But just in his Ruach HaKodesh, he said, oh, yeah, simple there. It's good Avrich. It's the only words that's left his mouth, and the Mekabalim is the Rebbe. As a Dayan, he was an Ish Emes, Ad Ma'id. The Shin of a Rav, his father, was the epitome of Emes. And he showed a certain Rebishkeit when he would bedan. He took it very seriously, the whole Dayan. And when Bali Dimon come in front of him and they would present their tainas, so he sat in a Dekis, and when he felt that one of the Bali Din would start to, one of them was lying, in the middle of their talking, he would go, nu, nu. Like that, just like that, and then they would continue to talk, and he would go no, 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 in his dvekis, and very calm, but just like a notion like that, and then it was many, many, many times. What would happen is that the Bali Din would be moideh from the whole matzav of the dvekis and of the kedusha and just the Ruach HaKodesh which he was showing, just to hear when people would talk, didn't have to really don. He didn't have to don. The whole point was just to make the chakran admit to the din in order to get out of it. You know, instead of having to work out a pshara, which is like really how the bali didn't work, in his vekas he would just, you know, in a quiet way, just say no, no, and then that's pretty much how things ended. Like many tzaddikim. He had a certain kapeda not to be taken a picture of. Didn't want his picture taken. And it's brought down in the Svarim, and Divya Malkiel has a tshuva on this, where taking a picture of a tzaddik could be poigim tzelem, meaning that, that's what's called lehitztalem. It's a lashon of tzelem. And every single person has a certain tzelem. It's part of the Kedusha and Kabbalah, and Chassidus speaks a lot about this. He says, so taking a picture of the tzaddik is poigim tzelem of the tzaddik, which he works very hard all the time to should be kadosh. So, he was in a circle, he found himself in a circle, and there was a photographer who was trying to take a picture of him, and there was a certain bacher who stepped in front of the tzaddik and kind of took the blow, you know, took the picture as opposed to the rabbi. And he had a lot of hanah from that, nachas ruach, and he gave him big brachas that from saving him from that, from that possible hezek. That the big brachas, he felt a big nachas ruach from that. Yeah, tzaddikim are very careful in every inyan of kedusha. So by us, you know, take pictures, you know, not a big deal. But tzaddikim who are always working in kedusha and avoda, he had a hakar satay for stepping in front. He once came to the tzion of the Noam Elimelech, and Ravitzkel said this over that when a rebbe comes to. You know, to see him like that, so they make a path so that the Rebbe can go, clear it off, and be able to walk through. So he said he says, even if I'm a Rebbe, at the Tzion of the Noam Elimelech, I'm not a Rebbe. And he was Mavatal the whole Inyan, and he went there and he stood by the Tzion with one hand against his heart like this, with his eyes closed for an hour. And he says, there was no movement, there was no talking, the only thing that you saw was with tears coming down his eyes. Imagine such a scene like that. For an hour straight. No words, nobody talking, his lips weren't moving. And the dvekis with his hands on his heart, and it's just a stream of tears. He had a son who he named after his father, Yechezkel Shaga. And when he was a young boy, he told him, Yechezkel, why don't you learn from your uncle, Rav Moshe, who actually succeeded his father, the Yechezkel, as the Rav Mshinova. So why don't you learn from your uncle, Rav Moshe, how to break your taivas? He says, Rav Moshe, he doesn't sleep more than Shita Nishman, like David HaMelech, half an hour at a time. Like the Vilna Gaon was like, the many tzaddikim had that in you. He doesn't sleep, he's masagif himself with such fierce satayva that he doesn't allow himself even to sleep half an hour at a time. And then he said, why don't you learn from the Rebbe from Shchipkov how to learn Torah b'Hasmada and Yerushalayim, and from your uncle Rabbi Sachado Belzer, why don't you learn Yerushalayim, and the Rebbe from Pristik, we'll hopefully get to Mitzvah Shem, why don't you learn the Midah of Anava, and Rabbi Leibish from Tarna, you should learn about the Midah of Emes. So he said, Satati, what am I going to learn from you? What should I learn from you? So he said, for me, you can learn the Midah of Savlanas. And that was something which he was mamish mitzdayin in the Midah of Savlanas. You saw by him how patient he was. My Rebbe once told me, when it comes to the Midah of Savlanas, the Belzer Rebbe of Arli used to say that the Gantz Alev in the whole life is to work on being a Savlan. That's what my Rebbe told me. Work in life. Can imagine what the Rebbe Arli Belzer went through in his life. The suffering through the Holocaust. He lost his wife and, 10 children. And he came to Tzeinu HaKadosha and built up to the empire what Belzer is today. But somebody once sent to him, we mentioned this going back, we spoke about the Belzer Rav. He says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry about the life that you had, about the, you know, how we left such nisei nisim from the Churban in Europe. He says, I'm so sorry for the difficult life that you have. So he said, the Rav got all worked up and he said, wow, terrible life which I had. He says, Chas v'shalom. I never had a bad day in my life. Never had a bad day in my life. Belzer Rav. But the Midah of Savlanas is you can learn by him. An example of that, and there's only a few here, Reb Itzigal once said that the minhag in Chechnov on Erev Shabbos was that they would bring chassanim to the shul and he would give them brachas. If there was going to be a chassan in the coming week, he'd give brachas to the chassanim. So the Rebbe was also knowing on Erev Shabbos to be Maver Sedra. So once a chassan came in and the Rebbe was up to Maftir. He was up to Maftir in Bima Avesedra, and the chassan came in, and he interrupted, and in the middle, and he said, oh, yeah, come in, he gave him a bracha, and he schmoozed with him. He said, as soon as he went out, the Gabbai saw that he started from the beginning to Bima Avesedra, because he had a kpeda that he would do the whole thing at once, and he couldn't be mafsik. So, you know, if we had to imagine if that happened to us, you'd be like, you know, okay, wait a second, or you'd be frustrated probably to have to go back to the beginning of Bima Avesedra. I don't just mean, I mean, shnayim mikra bechatargum, yeah? Yeah? And he said, but he went back and he started it as if it was no big deal. And this is not somebody who has lots to do. You know, the Rebbe wanted to sit together. Have to start again, probably wasted a half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it was. No, went back to the beginning and it was as if like nothing had happened. Especially like that. Once in the middle of Kiddush on Friday night in the winter, he was holding the Kiddush cup in his hand. And then he looked at the clock and it was like between 6 and 7 o'clock. It just struck 6 actually. And there's a certain, it's brought down in the Magen Avram, reasons in Pnimius and Kabbalah not to make Kiddush between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. So he said that he didn't know what to do. So he didn't want to put the Kais down because he was Maschal B'Mitzvah. But he didn't want to continue because of the Kepedah of the Magen Avram. So he sat there with his eyes closed for an hour straight, not moving. Just for an hour straight, not moving. Just Pashat Savlanas for an hour. Of course, he had his inyanim. He had lots to think about in Kiddush Friday night. But, you know, probably think about put it down or, you know, just do the Kiddush anyways. Waited an hour with the cup in his hand until an hour passed.
To be a fly on the wall.
When he came to the city of Chechnov, at the time it was very hard to get dogim for Shabbos. Right, so think of having a dogim for Shabbos is a very big inyan. Has to do with tikkun neshamas, you know, rabbis know what to do with fish on Shabbos. So, you know, the Baal Shem Tov only moved to Mezhbish because it was accessible to have fish on Shabbos. That's why he took that shteler as opposed to somewhere else. That was the machriya b'dover. Help us understand a little bit the importance of that. So he asked the shamish to go find him fish. And so he went to the shore, you know, didn't always have markets on it. You just had to go to the beach, you know, to the ports and ask the fishermen for fish. So he said, you know, the Rebbe once is asking for a fish. He says, well, you know, the catching is going schwach. So he says, right after that, they pulled out this giant fish for the Rebbe. And it was the talk of the town that the Rebbe made a moy face, Rebbe made a moy face. So when Rebbe Simcha heard about this, so he said, no, talking about a maifes. He says, you know, the fish can't speak. And when you can't speak, if one of your senses doesn't work well, so the other chushim are enhanced. He says, because they can't speak, so they hear very well. So when they heard me tell the guy, I catch a fish for Shabbos, so they heard from a distance that I was one of the fish. So it's not a maifes. They were able to hear what I was saying. That's how he pushed it off.
Like a classic Rebbe Shemaisa. Not a maifes.
Yeah, it probably didn't work. It wasn't so convincing, but that's what he said. He once... It was a certain day on the Jewish calendar, which was like a shtickl yontif. And they brought out some eggs with onions. Eggs with onions is a Shabbos tikamaychal. And so there was somebody who was standing to the side and he was having this, like, let's say, Tu B'Shvat. So he went over and he said, I heard from my father, the Shin of a Rav, who heard from a Zakein Muflegas, a very old woman, who was a granddaughter of Rav Moshe from Ostrava, who was the Aruga Sabaisim on Sher Sherim, who was a contemporary of the Baal Shem Tov. And she told me that once there was a young girl who told over that when she was 7 years old, she was eating during the week onions with eggs. And the Baal Shem Tov came over to her. Baal Shem Tov came over to her. And he said to her, Tara Kinder, he said, we don't eat Maichel de Shabbos during the week. That's what he said. Don't eat Maichel de Shabbos during the week. So he said, it's unclear that Tzaddikim had. Shabbos food is Shabbos food. Don't eat it during the week. He used to say that if you see Yidden who are dancing, always be mitzarif with them. If you see Yidden dancing, join in with them. Because it will always end up good for you. He says, because even if you find yourself in the Gehenna, the dancing with Yidden will pull you out. That's what he said. He used to say that everything today goes very quickly. With electricity, you can fly from place to place very fast, you can heat up your food very quickly. So he used to say that today, you don't need to do sigufim and tanesim. Well, that whole thing is batal. He says, in the same way that in the physical world things go very quickly, he says it also goes very quickly in Ruchnius too. But the little things which we do, it goes very quickly. Everything is poil very quickly. He made a big macham against the Tzionim. That was just one of the big things that he took on in the Satmarov. He was influenced by that a little bit, but he made a big melchama in that. He was once asked, you know, why he does so. He says, this is one of the reasons why I came into this world. He says every single soldier has his task, and says, I came into this world to take this on. And the tzaddikim said about him that he didn't have a richas yomim because of this. That because he was always fighting in the sinyan.
What was the
union? Huh?
What was the union?
The tzionim. That mean to set, you know, to make a secular state and.
Oh, you know, like a tzion, like by its other, like to have a.
No, no.
What?
No, no.
Medina.
Medina.
What is happening?
Yeah. So I'm not saying it. I say Chassidish a little bit, so it doesn't come out clear. So, once a certain Tzioni came to him and he said to him that if you don't stop making a machlekes, we're going to kill you. We're going to shoot you. So he said that he opened up his bekesha and he pointed to his shirt and he said, "You go ahead right now. Shoot me right now." So he said, "Shoot me right now." He says he would die a serious nefesh for it. That's how he felt he was a soldier in that Indian. He gave up his life and wasn't Maruch Yamim because of that. And that's what the tzaddikim said. Had he been Maruch Yamim, he would have conquered the whole world. But he was involved in these inyanim very much. The Shabbos before he passed away, so his brother-in-law, Rabbi Sachadoi, was making Kiddush. And in the middle of his Kiddush, Friday night, he was holding the kois, and the kois fell out of his hand. Now by a Rebbe, that's a very big deal. Such a thing should happen. So the Rebbetzin, she was very concerned, and she said, she said, I'm very concerned about my brother-in-law, the Chechen Rav, right now. She from a distance, you know, one was in Chechen Rav, and the other one was in Belz. She was already margish that something may be wrong. And she said, why is that? Because two years ago, there was another brother-in-law from school. It was Yom Tov Sheni of Sukkot, and the Belzer Rebbe was making Kiddush, and the kais fell out of his hand. And they found out later that brother-in-law passed away when the kais fell out of his hand. So when it fell out of the hand this time, she was concerned about the other brother-in-law. And v'kachav, as soon as it fell out of his hand, it was nifter. And she already knew from experience that he had passed away. So, very, very big tzaddik. And like I said, like Shavorsky was one of the great Mamshichei Darkai. But, you know, it wasn't Marach Yomim. But in his time, the tzaddikim said, the Samarov said that if there was a Rebbe in the world, then it was him. It was Mamisha. Again, you don't always hear of these great tzaddikim, but, you know, we don't have tires from him to learn about. But, like many, lit up the world in their time. And we could speak about them, Baruch Hashem.